In Ukraine, where Joseph Lindsley is. Joe, hello. As you know, the headline around here, Wall Street Journal journalist arrested on suspicion of espionage, according to Russian officials. So here we go again. No surprise to you, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you know, his name is Evan Gershkovich. Gershkovich. And he's an American journalist. And, you know, I can't imagine, imagine the courage it takes to be a foreign journalist or a diplomat working in Russia right now. And some of his recent stories, headlines include Russians mourn Ukrainians killed in war at a statue to a Ukrainian poet in Moscow. Putin, isolated and distrustful, leans on a handful of hardline advisors, and the Chechen warlord who does Putin's dirty work in Ukraine. So Evan was writing these stories while he was in Russia, incredibly dangerous. And now the FSB, the Russian, you know, the successor to the Russian KGB, has detained him. And so, I can't imagine the horrible situation he's in. And interestingly, yesterday, the BBC had a headline, Russian spies more effective than the army, say experts. And this goes, you know, the Russian, they haven't lost their spy knowledge from the days of the Cold War, from the KGB. You know, Putin began his career as a KGB guy. And so that's very much a part of Russia's efforts around the world. And also interesting, when I saw that BBC headline, next to it was a headline about the Russian Orthodox Church in Kyiv. And the story about the spies never mentioned the situation with the Russian Orthodox Church. And I think this story has got some traction around the world the past couple of days, because President Zelensky's government said that the Russian Orthodox monks in this monastery in Kyiv have to leave. And some people are using this to say, using the Russian KGB-style propaganda, that Ukraine is persecuting Christians. And nothing could be further from the truth. The Lavra is the name of this monastery. It was built in the year 1051, 100 years before Moscow was even established. And I actually visited that in Kyiv in 2018, and I didn't know the history of it. And I went to the gift shop, and I said thank you in Ukrainian, and they kicked me out. Simply because I was speaking the Ukrainian language. And even now, after more than a year of war, you know, it's widely presumed that these Russian Orthodox priests that have churches all over Ukraine are the remaining spies of Russia here on Ukrainian soil. And they've been allowed to exist this entire time precisely because Moscow knows if Ukraine kicks them out, it's great, it makes great headlines, especially in certain media in America. You know, I mean, this has been a big issue that Tucker Carlson speaks about on Fox, that somehow there's a persecution of Christians here. And it's important to, well, I'll say there was a video from the Russian monk who's in charge of the monastery. And here's how he began his video. I will tell you, Mr. President, and all of your pack, our tears will not fall to the ground. They will fall on your head. This monk is saying this in Kyiv right now, after everything everyone's gone through. And this is what kind of, but the tactic is always to play the victim, but he, with such malice. And it's an occasion to remember that the Russian Orthodox Church, the Moscow Patriarchy, was established in 1943 by Joseph Stalin as a way to control the people. Originally, with the Communist Revolution, they had outlawed religion, but he brought it back because he saw that it could have great effect on the people. And in 1943, they gave the Russian Patriarch the title Patriarch of Moscow and all Rus. And Rus, R-U-S, that doesn't mean Russian. It means the Rus people. And originally, they were called the Kyivs, based in Kyiv. And they came from what is now Sweden. And in fact, in the Finnish language, when they speak about the name for Sweden in Finnish, is Ruotsi. And it refers to the ancient Rus people. And they built the city of Kyiv. It became what they called the Second Jerusalem. Became a Christian city under Vladimir the Great more than 1,000 years ago. And the Mongols kept trying to invade from the east. Eventually, in a couple hundred years after Kyiv was established, some renegades from the Kievan Rus formed an alliance with the Mongols, and they created the city of Moscow. And ever since then, for centuries, they've been trying to get their hands on Kyiv, to take it, to control it. And that's why they unilaterally began calling themselves, I think it was under Peter the Great, what is now Russia was called the Duchy of Muscovy, but they started to call themselves Russia, and as the Duke of Moscow declared himself elite prince of all Rus. And so we can see that there's this long history of people in Moscow trying to control the uncontrollable people of the wild fields, the ancient Kievan Rus here in Ukraine.
So important to understand that history. And talking about that story of the Wall Street Journal reporter leads me to ask you, Joseph, as you're out and about there in Kyiv, or as we've heard, you've traveled throughout Ukraine, how concerned are you about espionage, about who you may think is a friend but really is a foe out there?
You know, I would be, and I thought about this, especially in relation to this story. If I was right now, let's say I took a small trip to Prague or Paris or London, I would be much more concerned because there, you know, sort of anything goes and there could be Russian agents operating all over the place, even in New York or Washington, especially in those places. Here in Ukraine, you feel like everyone has your back. I mean, the society is so united. After the first couple months, you know, leading up to the big invasion in February a year ago, and then the first months afterward, there were many Russian spies. I can think back to people who I think probably were Russian spies. Most of those have been rounded up. These Romanian monks are probably some of the few left. So you feel, actually, I feel safer here, other than the threat from missiles from the sky, than I probably would if I was writing my stories in a cafe in Prague. At the other hand, and I think this is, it's much mitigated now, but in places like Kharkiv, I know stories from, for example, from foreign soldiers. They arrived at their apartment they were staying in Kharkiv, and they were going to go out and, you know, that was where they were going to live while they fought. And some of the neighbors must have called the authority, you know, called the Russians, and within minutes, rockets were hitting their building. So that was a problem, but a lot of that has been mitigated because people don't, you know, the society is so unified, and there is such an element of trust throughout Ukraine. As you see it, like, there's more, you know, I feel there's more scrutiny as you get on a, you know, travel through America or, you know, take a flight. Then Ukraine is a very trust-based society. And so, yeah, it's a strange irony. I feel safer here.
One more thing, Joseph. Opening day for baseball around here, you get homesick on a day like this?
Well, as you say that, I think of Chicago on, you know, opening day, and hopefully there's some nice spring weather. So as you say that, I can feel a little bit of homesickness. I can hear the crack of the bat. But it is a beautiful blue sky day here in Lviv. And as I was going for a run, and we had not had an alarm in 7 days, the air alarm went off. And as I'm going through the park, you hear the alarm on the sirens and then on everyone's phone, you know, at different times going off. But everyone just keeps going. And so far, it is a calm day here in the west of Ukraine.
And I pray that it stays that way for you, Joseph. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Till tomorrow.